Hello and welcome to the Daily Dits podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Mitchell. It's Wednesday, the 12th of August, and this podcast is your daily go-to for the best stories from our amazing armed forces community, celebrating them. And what an achievement we're talking about today. A female aviator has swam the English Channel. And to tell us more about it, I'm joined by presenter-producer Lydia Tester. Hello.
Hello, Lauren. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very excited to be here today.
Well, it's first time as a guest on the pod, isn't it? You hosted it once when I just, went gallivanting on a hospital trip.
Yeah, I did it a bit backwards. I did host and now I'm guest, but we'll see how it goes.
So tell me, what have you been up to recently?
Well, I have come back from Cyprus a few months ago after doing a 9-ish month stint over there, back to the UK. But luckily, I brought the gorgeous weather with us. Like, it's been so nice here since I've been back, to be honest. I think we've had like 5 heat waves or something. But yeah, I'm just working in Chalfont and covering loads of different shows, doing loads of different bits. It's been really fun.
So for those that don't know, Chalfont is our like BFBS Towers. It's our HQ, isn't it? So you're in with the big bosses. And you've spoken to one phenomenal lady recently, haven't you?
Yeah, so Squadron Leader Nick McKay from RAF Honington, we caught up recently. She swam the English Channel solo, and I'm really into my open water swimming. So for me, it was like the perfect story. I could have spoken to her for hours, to be honest.
So how did you reach out to her? Did she reach out to you? Like, how did this happen?
So honestly, Lauren, I was just like scrolling down my Facebook and the algorithm has turned super military for me recently. And RAF Honington came up and they were praising what Squadron Leader Nick McKay had done. And I was like, that's a really cool story. And I just feel like one that BFBS would love to have like more knowledge on as well. So I actually just DM'd on Facebook and I was like, hi, I love open water swimming, can I talk to you? And really luckily for me, in this small military world that it is, the media team that were helping RAF Honington at the time, I have worked with them before when I was at Brize Norton, so it was a really easy introduction and it just went from there.
And Lydia, I understand that this year is like the centenary anniversary of the first woman to swim the English Channel, Gertrude Edderley, August 1926.
Yeah, so I think it's a really nice milestone for Nick that she got to do it, you know, 100 years on. It's a really difficult challenge. Like, I can't stress enough that this is not an easy task that she's completed. So I think to have that on top of it as well must have just felt, you know, even extra special. I mean, it's only been 150 years since the first ever person done it as well. So it's a really recent thing in the grand scheme of things.
What I love more than anything is that military personnel, they see a challenge and they go, yeah, I'm going to make it even harder. Because, like, she didn't just do a little swim, did she? She swam the channel.
She swam the channel. She did it in 10 hours and 18 minutes. The average, she said, was 13 hours and 30 minutes. She wanted to do it in 12 hours, but she did it in 10. So she was absolutely like beside herself. I think she mentions that like she doesn't normally give herself any praise or any credit, but for the first time, she actually feels like really proud of herself. And I was like, yeah, no brainer.
That is incredible.
It's mad, isn't it?
What I find really interesting, Lydia, is that a lot of military personnel end up actually joining the military because they want to do sports alongside their career. And I just find it incredible that the military gives them that kind of opportunity.
Yeah, I also agree with that. And I feel like this is no different as well, because I caught up with Squadron Leader Nick McKay from RAF Honington. And she actually started by telling me how she feels having accomplished it.
I don't normally feel proud of myself, but I do feel proud of myself on this occasion. It's been a solid 7 months, but it's been all worth it, I think, now reflecting on it. So,
and what made you want to do this in the first place, like booking it 3 years ago?
Good question. Pool swimming became a bit mundane and uninteresting, so I kind of got myself into open water swimming probably about 15 years ago. I started doing some like lower level competitions just across the UK, then going into some more international competitions. And then I actually met a girl and she said she'd swam the English Channel. And I've done two channel swim relays, one with the army and one with the RAF. So I was fortunate to get on both of those teams. Extremely amazing experience. And it's kind of been in the back of my head ever since to do a solo. So she gave me all the details of the pilot that she had, the pilot and boat. And also she gave me the details of Tim from Red Top. And she said, he will get you across the channel. And I was like, ah, I can do this. And then as it got closer this year, I was like, what was my brain thinking 3 years ago? But by that point, it's too late. So yeah. I had to go through with it.
I want to ask about how you fit your training around your work schedule, because we know in the military, it's very, very busy. How did you make that work?
I've got a extremely stressful job at the moment. It has taken its toll on me mentally and physically. I've been covering multiple roles, but I do believe anything worthwhile requires some resilience and perseverance. And I wanted to do a challenge that was going to push me mentally and physically anyway. Luckily, where I work at the moment has a swimming pool, so I managed to jump in a couple of times a week, which was good. And then you're basically in my own time jumping in lakes, rivers, the sea, and then on weekends just doing whatever events I could do. So traveling around the UK, you know, down to Dover, up to the Lake District, across to Wales. And I did manage to get 2 weeks away with RAF swimming as well, which was subsidized by the RAF Central Fund, so that was really useful. So yes, it's been tough, but that's what any challenging event brings. And I suppose, yeah, it's almost like an added achievement that I've still managed to do all of my work without fail and swim the English Channel.
You know, not many people say that they've done it, right?
I mean, less than 3,000 people have swum across the Channel solo in the last 150 years since the first person swam across. So it's quite a big achievement. Less people have swum the Channel than climbed Everest. And it's the pinnacle of open water swimming.
What was the first thing that you did when, you done it?
What did I do? Well, climb out at France, and then a little guy called Patrice, who lives on the French coastline, comes down, he meets you and gives you a shell. And then you're basically straight back on the boat, and then you head all the way back over to England. So once I got back to England, quite a few of my family had come down. So I had my two nieces, two nephews there, my brother, my sister. Yeah, it was really nice. So I kind of spent some time with them. However, they all wanted to fully celebrate. I was not feeling very Olympic at that point and kind of just wanted to go to bed.
Yeah. Were you able to enjoy it in the moment, like while you were doing it? Or was it really just like I need to get that to the end?
I would say probably didn't enjoy doing it. It was more a mission for me. So it was like the culmination of a solid 7 months of training, and I was on a mission to get to France. So if you miss, there's a point in France that the idea is the pilot tries to get you to that point based on the tides and currents. If you don't make that, you can get dragged down the coast by an extra 5 hours. To be honest, my mind was, I need to swim to France.
What an incredible woman. That is an amazing stat that she mentioned. Only 3,000 people have swum across the Channel solo. There's fewer people that have swam the Channel, Lydia, than have climbed Mount Everest, by the way.
I know. When she actually mentioned that, it blew my mind, because you just wouldn't think that to be the case. I think swimming doesn't get a looking like climbing sometimes. And so to hear a fact like that, it really just puts it into perspective.
So do we know how she sort of rewarded herself afterwards? Because if she swam her way to France, then surely was she able to stay around for a cheeky croissant?
Unfortunately not. She literally got on the boat straight back to England, but she was really complimentary. Her family had come to see her and support her. But what she mentioned was that she wasn't feeling very Olympic about it all. So after doing an over 10-hour swim, everyone wants to celebrate her, obviously, because she's absolutely done this amazing achievement, and everyone's got the adrenaline, like secondhand adrenaline, I kind of want to say. But she's just absolutely knackered. So she said she just had a glass of wine and went to bed, and then celebrated properly the next day once she was, you know, rested.
Oh, bless her. To be fair, that's how I would celebrate as well.
Me too.
I quite like her. But Lydia, you yourself, you like a little bit of swimming, don't you? And it's one of your big hobbies.
Yeah, I'm totally into it, which is why this story jumped out at me straight away. It's been something that's been really prominent in my life, especially since like the pandemic. I think it's incredible for your mental health. So not only like your physical health, but your mental well-being. It just slows everything down, in my opinion. You know, this is just my personal opinion as well, but I did it to stop my brain being from overwhelmed because you have to focus on your breathing. And once you focus on your breathing, you kind of can't really focus on anything else. And Nick actually agreed with that wholeheartedly. So there was two takeaways she wanted from her interview. One is to encourage people to try open water swimming because of the benefits of mental health and how welcoming and open a sport it is. And also to encourage people to book those ambitious challenges. If something's on their brain, just to go for it, because you can do it.
Oh, I love that. Very motivating. I like it a lot. And I guess when it comes to being in the water and things like that, you haven't really got your phone, have you? You're leaving that on the side. Mm-hmm. It's just you and the water, and it's probably a great way to sort of unplug.
100%. And especially, again, with open water swimming in particular, it's the sound of nature. It's just so wholesome.
Well, Lydia, has squadron leader Nick McKay managed to sort of recruit you to swim the channel next?
Hilariously, we did have the conversation. She mentioned that it was a 3-year waitlist. So she's been waiting 3 years to do this from when she booked it. And I was like, how did you just keep wanting to do it? And she said, because it's a cool thing to say I've done. And fair enough. So watch this space. We'll see. I'm no promises on my end, though.
Oh, well, if it happens, I'm getting you on the pod.
Absolutely. You first.
Oh, well, Lydia, thank you so much for coming on the pod today. It has been so lovely to have you.
My pleasure. It's been so fun chatting with you, Lauren.
Well, what else is going on across BFBS? A little bit like what squadron leader Nick McKay said about taking those challenges. If you've got something in your head, then you should definitely do it. Well, let me tell you about the BFBS Big Salute Operation Summit. That's right. This year, for the BFBS Big Salute, we're raising funds for military charities through a sponsored climb. Big Salute Day is on the 8th of October, and you can complete your challenge anytime before then. You can climb any hill, stairs, even use some gym equipment. Encourage your mates and family to support your efforts with donations and help us build a mountain of cash for military charities. And of course, we'll let you know exactly what's raised on Big Salute Day. Presenters from BFBS teams around the world will also be doing their own climb, and we'll hear from all of them across the day on BFBS Radio. Let us know what you're planning at bfbs.com/summit so your local team can tell your story. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Daily Dits. I've been your host, Lauren Mitchell, and I'll see you tomorrow.